Are you guys ready for the word? I'm ready to give you the word. It's a little light this morning. That sun god's disappeared today. But let's pray. Dear Father, as I'm about ready to share the word of God with your wonderful people, Father, may they grasp it and understand it, and may they make it a part of their life. Not just words, but Father, the wisdom of you expressed in understanding so that we're made complete in you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Sunday mornings, I forgot which Sunday I quit preaching to you 3 or 4 Sundays ago. We were talking about faith, and we were doing some messages on faith. And the first thing that we covered was the 4 types of faith: the gift of faith, triumphant faith, transcending faith, and transforming faith. We brought out that the transforming faith is your greatest faith to have. That's where you are challenged to change in the way that you think. The second thing that we covered is our faith for our generation is found only accountable to God's word. We don't have a physical Jesus we can go to receive our needs or to establish the wisdom of our faith. And so that's why Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God can dissect the total man, even down to his thoughts and intents of his heart. Then the next verse, our translators didn't translate it that way. But the next verse, verse 13, is the one we always miss. And that's the one that says there was everything was laid open and naked before the sight of him. And then our translators put in there, with whom to him is our accountability. Well, that's true to a point. But in the Greek, it's translated, therefore to us, the word is our accountability. And so our generation is stuck with the word of God. And that's a good stuck. Amen. And so we can't travel to a particular place and find Jesus there healing all the sick. Well, today he would be pretty swamped. But anyway, but what we do is we have to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God is our foundation for our faith to work off of. And the third thing that we learned is the church is the authority for our faith to work in the earth. Our authority on his completed work for us. Our authority is on his completed work for us in the earth. We brought out the example of what Kenneth Hagin Sr. had said one time when he was talking to Jesus. And these demons got down in between him. And he was sitting there and trying to hear what Jesus was saying. And Jesus kept on speaking. And finally, Kenneth Hagin got so frustrated and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you demons to get out of here. And they disappeared instantly. And so Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, why didn't you do something about that? And the Lord said, I couldn't. And he says, why wouldn't you do that? And the Lord said, I did not say I wouldn't. I said I couldn't. And finally, he challenged the Lord that he'd never heard anything like that in the Word of God, that everything that God had done has always been the sovereignty of God in his thinking. And so he was challenged by that experience. And then the Lord had reminded him all the authority that had been apprehended in him had been given to the church. So it's up to the church to exercise its authority over the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we brought out the fourth thing, the things that we must add to our faith. A lot of believers quit growing in their faith. They become churched and they're not challenging themselves almost daily to grow in their faith. And so we brought out in Peter there where he talked about having diligence, virtue, knowledge, and self-control, and perseverance or endurance. That's called staying power. So that we're not barren or unfruitful or short-sighted. The word short-sighted means no discernment. We can't see things to come. and then we'll never stumble or we'll never be offendable. Many believers are easily offended. And so it's one of the things is they're not adding to their faith the things that are necessary for them to grow by. Another thing that we've been bringing out about teaching about faith is little faith. You'll not find in the Word of God that little faith is mentioned in scriptures that moves the mountain. But it is a faith that is planted like a seed and grows. And so whenever you look up the term little faith, you'll find that they never accomplished anything with little faith, including moving the mountain. But we brought out how faith is the kingdom of God that has seeded itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. I'll say that again. But faith is the kingdom of God that has seeded itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. 30, 60, 100-fold. Now, point number 6 is, and this is something that I hope many of you grasp, is wisdom is the makeup of our faith. Wisdom is the makeup of our faith. Without the wisdom of God, then the faith of God is not in us. That's why faith is not mentioned in the Old Testament except for 2 times and 1 time negatively. Over in Deuteronomy, it says that they were children in whom there was no faith. And over in Habakkuk 2:4, it says the just shall live by faith. That's only 2 times that the word faith is mentioned in the Old Testament. And that stumped me because for many years I didn't understand why faith that is such a dominant word in our New Testament society, especially in Scripture and New Testament, why wasn't faith mentioned more over there until finally, one day seeking the Lord on that, he brought me to the book of James. And so, if you will, turn to James chapter 1. I want to show you something that answered that question. And the Lord told me that faith is found in the Old Testament, but not through the term faith. It is found in the term wisdom. Wisdom. And see, many of us don't realize that. You see, we've heard messages on the message of faith. But that is not the answer for the growth of your faith. It gives you an idea or a structure or gives you components of how faith operates. But really, basically, faith is the wisdom of God. That is what your faith is based on. Faith in the Old Testament is found in the word wisdom. The wisdom of God is what our faith is based upon. Now, in James chapter 1, I want you to notice, starting at verse 2, I want us to read something here that is going to be pretty enlightening to you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Boy, what loaded 3 verses. But notice verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, what I thought was very interesting is in verse 2 and 3 and 4, it talks about a man possessing faith, and his faith has to have a production of patience or endurance. And he said, let that endurance have its perfect work, that that person would not lack in anything or that he desires or needs. Now, we brought out the different kinds of faith, and we have what we call the triumphant faith, which wins victories. Then we have the gift of faith, which is imparted to us under the ministering of the Holy Spirit, like in a service or in a crowd or something like that. Then we have what we call a transcending faith, a faith that will stick no matter what it goes through. It'll last and last and last. It'll continue on. And then we have what we call a transforming faith, and that's where the Word of God gets in us and begins to change the way we think. That is the kind of faith that is the most precious faith to God, is the fact that God would be able to get His Word on the inside of you and begin to change the way that you think about things. Now, the reason that James kind of puzzled me here, he goes into verse 5, and when I was reading it out of the Greek, it kind of struck me kind of funny, but it answered one of the questions that I had. Why isn't faith mentioned more in the Old Testament, but I find a lot to do with the term wisdom? Wisdom. And then when I was reading verse 5 in the Greek, I know the Greek words now because I've worked with them over so many years, that when I come to the word, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach. Well, I couldn't figure out how liberally and reproach would fit into the same verse if I was lacking wisdom. It seemed like if that's a part of me that is lacking, one thing I wouldn't have to be concerned about with God is the fact that He was going to be stingy about it, or He was going to reproach me for it. Because He's telling me to go ask for it, if any of you lacks wisdom. But when I was reading it in the Greek, it took on a whole different meaning to me. Even in the tense and mood, and I'm not going to tell you what that is. But notice what he says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Well, when I looked at this word, I went, my gosh, why wasn't it better translated the way that it's saying it? Because now I understand why the term liberally is mentioned and the word reproach is mentioned in the same verse. He's saying, first of all, if any of you fall in to a test or trial. And we know what the test or trial is in the book of James, because the mind of the book is the influence that money had begun to position itself back in the church. The spirit that they once had began to come back into the church. Well, that is the theme of the book, but notice what he says. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you have failed in leaving behind wisdom, if any of you have failed in leaving behind wisdom, boy, that makes a whole lot more sense to me. Because I understood right away in the Old Testament, when you're talking about faith, you're talking about wisdom of God. Now, we've enjoyed the message of faith. I've enjoyed how I was taught how it should operate in me. But no one ever told me the basis that my faith exists is predicated on the fact that I have received the principle of God's wisdom. Do you know that our generation, out of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, remember when we were covering the book of Ephesians? Aaron Greco, my son-in-law, had said to me, he says, yeah, boy, I'm seeing that book a whole lot different than what I thought it was, because he liked the book. I think I'm saying right, Aaron. Am I saying right? Yeah, okay. And he said, boy, I'm looking at it a whole lot different. Well, back, you know, one thing that we need to understand about our epistles when they were written in our Bible, One thing you need to understand is sometimes the backdrop of the book, so that you understand why they even purposely wrote the book. Understanding a little bit about the backdrop of it. Well, the book of Ephesians, the reason that the backdrop of that book was so important is the Apostle Paul brought to the Christian world an understanding of the church and the body of Christ as a family unit, even down to the fact that we're a household together. And he said in that epistle, he said right off at the beginning concerning our inheritance, that our inheritance was predicated on the stewardship of the gospel of the kingdom of God for our generation. Stewardship. Well, you know, the word stewardship, that Greek word there is economy. The translators put dispensation there, but actually it's a Greek word, economy. It's how God functions in our time period through the church on his economy. And his economy is functioning on the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is your first defense. People will sit there and grab a hold of a message of faith to try to convince somebody that they need help in the kingdom of God in the third heaven. And God has already completed the work. He's the author and finisher of our faith, completed it in the Word of God. And we're running to him because we have done something we should not have been doing. Probably 99.9% of the time, which calls we have failed in the area of operating in wisdom. See, most of us, we just want to go and do our thing. Just do anything we feel moved to do. And we find that it puts us in the hole. You ever fallen into a hole not knowing it was there? I have. It gives you a sudden awareness. Walking along hunting. Going to kill me an elk. And boy, this morning it was nice and calm, and the grass was nice and wet from the previous rain. And I'm sneaking along, and I forgot who was behind me. It might have been Tim, and I disappeared. I fell into a sinkhole, buried into mud up to my waist. Where did this come from? Surrounded by four dirt walls. How many of you know I was woke up to the reality of my surroundings? Well, I begin to realize that we can't go through life falling into sinkholes. And then taking this thought that my faith will drag me out of that hole. Do you know God will do that? If you fall into the sinkhole for the first time, God will help you out of that sinkhole. If you fall into it the second time, I don't know. I don't know if it's in Scripture or not, but probably he would probably pull you out of the second tragedy. But you go in there a third time, if you have to crawl out of it yourself, it's because God wants you to learn something. Most of us, we keep falling into these sinkholes and we never learn anything. Well, what was I supposed to learn out of that? Don't go walking through a grass field. You can't see the ground because that sinkhole had grass all over the top of it. You learn that. The shape of the ground, and that'll tell you whether there's a hole there or not. I know, I almost went into them again. But faith is not so that you can be bailed out of something. Your faith is predicated on the fact that it wants you to believe in something so that you are complete, lacking nothing. not so that you can have a bailout situation that you've fallen into. And most of the time we don't realize we're the ones who dug the sunk hole. Now, if whoever's behind me saw me fall into that sinkhole and knew I dug the sinkhole, they would probably even think less of me. He dug the sinkhole and he fell in his own hole. What a dummy. You be quiet there, Jimmy. So the first three verses, he literally says, let faith produce patience, because patience is what will cause you to be complete, lacking nothing. That's why the next verse, when it's stated that way, it gives an understanding to me. But if any of you have failed in leaving behind wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. That literally means matter of fact, the word reproach means to assail with abusive words. So when you fall into a sinkhole, do you think God would use abusive words because you were too stupid and you fell into that hole? No, it's probably because we fall into the hole because we lacked an understanding in the area of some form of wisdom that caused us to get in there. Yes, I know this is a message that makes you want to change churches. Because a lot of believers don't like the responsibility of the gospel. But it's true nevertheless. If I'm going to exercise my faith, and I know within myself I have left an area of wisdom. How many of you would like to know, when you've fallen into a sinkhole, how many would like to know what would prevent me from falling into this thing again? Wouldn't that be our first line of defense? So I think what he's saying here, he says, go ahead and let patience have its perfect work in the exercising of your faith, so that you can be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But if any of you have fallen short or failed or left behind wisdom, then inquire of the Lord, who gives wisdom liberally and does not reproach you for it. So if I'm in the sinkhole and I cry out to God, God, how did I get here? God did not say, you stupid jerk, enjoy. No, what he's saying here is that when you get into that kind of situation, the first line of defense for your faith to have patience is ask God where you've missed it. Oh, no, I don't miss it. God's sovereign. I got here because he orchestrated it. He had designed it. Well, you know, with that kind of attitude, I wouldn't be shocked if God kicked dirt over you while you were in the hole. Now, I know he wouldn't do that, but you sure deserve it. James is saying here, listen, if any of you have failed in leaving behind wisdom, this would give the impression that maybe in the resources of your heart, it's possible that you knew where you messed up, but didn't want to really admit it. How many of you ever got into a situation you wish you hadn't got into because you knew you were going into it? Because you knew you were going into it? Because you knew you were going into it? Come on, let's see your hands. Come on, let's confession Sunday morning. I'm going to put both of mine up. So he's saying here, if any of you have failed in leaving behind wisdom, then let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What if you knew in your heart that you did do some things that were outside of wisdom? Let's say you did know, but you just didn't want to face it. You know, it's not easy going to God and saying, where did I miss it, God? Especially when you kind of have an idea in your own self that you possibly created it. The test or trial. It's harder to go to God. God, you know, I have failed to leave wisdom behind. Now, how do I get out of this? Has any of you ever been in that situation? I've been in that situation where I did something that I knew was not right in the area of wisdom. I did it anyway. And it's hard to go to God and say, God, where did I lack wisdom? When you know, possibly, you know where you didn't do the God kind of wisdom. He says here, if you get into a situation where you have left behind wisdom, just know one thing, that God is going to be there for you to give you what you need without any reproach. And that wisdom will come back to you. But he said, let him ask in faith with no doubting. The word doubting is a very interesting word, because the word doubt, and we've covered this in our messages of faith Sunday morning, doubt has instant results. When God speaks his word, doubt will instantly have a voice, because your voice is the voice of the carnal mind. We found that in Romans 8:7. And that carnal mind does not go away, and it's not renewed. It's your spiritual mind that is renovated. It's brought to a new understanding of how to think, because it only knew how it thought according to the carnal mind until God came down and circumcised the spirit from the flesh and gave it its own identity. And so the mind of the spirit is different from the mind of the flesh. And the minute the mind of the spirit is inquiring of God, the mind of the flesh is going to instantly have a voice against the mind of the spirit. Romans 8 tells us that. Why? Because it's made up of the senses. And I'm going to tell you something. The carnal mind has a wisdom called the wisdom of this world. And a lot of people don't understand that. And you got to be careful that you don't take the wisdom of God and mix it with the wisdom of the world. Because both of those forms of wisdom flow through our thinking. And most of us will take the Word of God and we'll try to interpret the Word of God through the vanity of the wisdom of this world. And you can't do that, because you'll never come to the wisdom of God. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's turn over there and look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 20 and 21. Where is the scribes? Where is this? Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. To save those who believe. Now notice what he said here, that there is a wisdom of the world that cannot know the wisdom of God. So if we keep incorporating the wisdom of this world in our thinking and not give credence to the wisdom of God, we will operate in one or the other. The only people that are really blessed by this message are the ones who didn't show up to church this morning. And we as believers, we're really great at conning ourselves into something more from a natural plane than a spiritual plane. We don't really know what it means that we have been bought with a price. Our life is no longer our own. That got lost somewhere in church history. The closer I get to God, you know, the thing that really bothers me fleshly, from a fleshly standpoint, the closer I get with God, the more awareness of His presence become alive in my life. And the more it indicts the presence of my physical being. That's why a lot of believers quit praying. I don't know why I just quit praying. Because you got into the very presence of God and it caused your flesh to suffer a little more. See, we might have to give of. The closer you get with God, the more you give of yourself. And that's hard when it's ingrained in the nature of the flesh not to do that. How many of you realize, how many of you have ever experienced being on fire for God and then drifted away, and how much harder it is to get back to that fire? It is harder. Why? Because your flesh has been down that road. And it don't want to go back down that road again. What road? The fire road. Oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember when he was on fire. Just got to remember, the flesh is only a part of us. Most believers think it's all of us. It's only part of us. And that's how we need to be very instructed on how the body of flesh, the carnal mind, can operate against the kingdom of God within us. And if we don't get that light or that insight, that wisdom, then I got news for you. Your body will revert back to what it always was without spiritual identity. You'll revert backwards. So following wisdom is really our trust in it. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. It's not the message of faith alone that causes us to grow in faith, but the wisdom of God in the understanding and the purpose of the wisdom that causes faith, the faith of God, to grow in us. Hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not just a message of faith, but hearing by the word of God. See, the wisdom that's found in the word of God. The wisdom that's found in the word of God. You know, Tony Cook, you know, he kept asking me things about our church and how we did things. And sometimes afraid to answer him because he's so analytical and he might find something we're doing wrong. And so he texts me and he said, "Pastor Jan, I want to commend you for being a pastor that you not only operate by faith, but your first line of defense is wisdom." He thanked me for that. And I said, "Well, thank you, Tony." He says, "But a lot of pastors are in trouble. They have stepped out and used the message of faith and left wisdom go to the wind." And he says, "Now they're in a tragic dilemma. They're losing their congregations and losing their churches. And rather than going forward, they're digressing." I ran into two ministers as it was that wanted out of the ministry. Well, one of them didn't want out. He was diverting and going someplace else. Because he dug a hole for himself and didn't know how to get out of it. And so he came up with the conclusion of going someplace else in ministering. Because he wouldn't be effective in the area he was anymore. I call that personal failure. If I'm going downhill, then at least if I'm the captain of the ship, I'd be here with you till the last man. Give yourself credit for that. Anyway, talking about these two kinds of wisdom. Many of us have to rely on natural wisdom at times. But we should rely on the wisdom of God at all times. And I find that when you start taking a mindset to rely upon the wisdom of God at all times, yours and my life will inadvertently come to a place where we have to use the wisdom of the world. You know, it's just part of life. And when you get into that situation, the first thing you do is you don't take on condemnation. You don't feel bad about the fact that you rely upon the wisdom of the world. But you go to God and say, God, I'm in a situation where I have to use the wisdom of the world in this situation. Is it all right if I do that? Because I understand your wisdom that is established. And God will either say yay or nay. But I've had some of you come to me and because of a condition or something, and you need to rely upon the wisdom of the world. God, in my heart, gave me to tell you, you have permission to do that. Because how many of you know all of us grow? We grow up like little children. They start to walk and they fall. You pick them up and you fall. You pick them up and you fall. Well, the wisdom of the world, sometimes when you have to rely upon, it's like the hands of the Father picking you back up until you can stand on your own. Because only God can know your heart. Man can't know your heart, but God can. Well, sometimes men can know your heart more than you do. But I've told them, yes, go ahead. You have permission to use the wisdom of the world. But don't abandon the wisdom of God because you have to use that. Don't get into condemnation because you have to use it here. And I'm talking for an example. John Cook tore his rotocuff, whatever that is. And he went to the doctor. What if he said, no, I'm just going to believe God and I ain't going to go to the doctor? And it gets worse and worse. Well, the doctor finally said he was glad he showed up because the tear was worse than what he thought it was. Fixed him up. He's doing great. Well, what if I told him, no. And yet my heart was not right with God. I didn't have that growing faith in me. I was all of a sudden going to abandon what I could by a direct leading of God to use that temporary wisdom in the place of where I'm not for what I need. Is God going to condemn me because I do that? I don't think God's going to condemn you for that. But God doesn't expect all of us to all be at that triumphant faith in our life before you're accepted by God. You're accepted by God whether you're 30, 60, or 100-fold. Most of us don't think God accepts us till we're 100-fold. I got news for you. If you're only working in 30-fold, God is just as much with you there as you would be at 100-fold. That's the purpose of grace and mercy. To cover you for progress, not to keep you where you're at. So, when I go back into the Old Testament and I begin to read in the Old Testament out of Book of Proverbs or Psalms, the Book of Proverbs really is the mind of God in wisdom. And when you get in that, we've been studying that on Wednesday nights, the difference between wisdom and understanding. We've found that wisdom is mentioned 54 times in the Book of Proverbs. I'm only talking about the Book of Proverbs now. Wisdom is mentioned throughout the whole book, but in the Book of Proverbs, I thought it was very interesting where they don't mention faith, but they mention wisdom, and they said wisdom is a principal thing. And it says wisdom cries out in the streets. It doesn't mean it's secret. It's open. There's a place of God's wisdom called liberality. It's free. It's open. Easy access to. But what I thought was very funny is just as much as it's mentioned in the Proverbs, the Book of Proverbs, the word wisdom, I found so is the word understanding. And it's mentioned 54 times. And not one time is understanding ever understood without the principle of wisdom laid first. Understanding always followed wisdom. Matter of fact, the word wisdom means that which is first in place. The wisdom of God. And what I thought was very interesting, it said, you and I are to cry out for understanding. God will cry out to you, wisdom, but you're to cry out for understanding. Understanding is your responsibility. What is understanding? Understanding is what will establish the principles of wisdom. That's why some people will come into the kingdom of God and last for a season and fall away from God. And the reason they fall away from God is because they understood the principles of salvation, but not have an understanding of the importance of those principles. And that is where your faith is based upon the understanding of the wisdom of God. Having put within yourself to know and understand wisdom. When I first started receiving the wisdom of God through great men of God, the first thing that was in my heart, and I'm sure it was in many of your hearts, you probably agree with this, the first thing that was in my heart, I hear what I'm hearing, but I want to understand it. Amen. Hasn't that been a cry of your heart? When you heard a message that was kind of floating over your head, but there was something on the inside of you said, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing those principles, but I want to understand them. I want to know how they work. Boy, how frustrated our heavenly how frustrated the Lord was when he walked on this earth. He said, seeing, they're not seeing. And hearing, they're not hearing. Or else they would be converted. He wasn't making a statement of what the kingdom of heaven really wanted. Man to hear something and not understand it. Or see it and not even understand it. No, what he was saying is if they would hear and they would understand. If they would see it. They would be converted. Hallelujah. God doesn't give his wisdom so we stay idiots. He gave us his wisdom so we would get understanding of the purpose of it. We got ministers now today, and I thank God that they're going to be shut down. But they're now preaching that we're not to go to a Jew and preach salvation to them through Christ. They're of a different covenant. What? No, Jesus is going to come back and give them the entire nation of Israel from beginning to end a chance for everyone to be saved. I couldn't believe it when I heard this minister telling me this. I said, how can they preach that? Totally contrary to the Word of God. Well, it's because we don't have an understanding of the principles of the wisdom of God. And if we did, our heart would be established. Because did you know that wisdom in Proverbs, this is going to shock a lot of you, wisdom in Proverbs never one time ever says that wisdom will establish you. But after every word of understanding, it says understanding will establish wisdom. That's why some can hear the message and be lost, and some can hear it and continue on in the things of God. I'm just dancing for joy. We're going to stop there. Too much church indoctrination. We need more word indoctrination. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. What a message to preach with Kenny and Grace coming back. Now they'll be leaving again. No. Did you guys get something out of what I was sharing today? We can describe what the message of faith looks like, but when you see sound wisdom, that is what your faith will be based on. That sound wisdom. Amen. Glory. Father, I thank you for your word. Oh, Father, I thank you for your word. Hallelujah, I thank you for your word. It is so rich. Father, it challenges us. It challenges to be that new person in Christ you intended for us to be. And Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, if there is anyone here who has never given their heart and life to Jesus, who would love to come into the kingdom, Father, we would love to lay hands on them and have them say the sinner's prayer and come into the kingdom of God. Father, may they not be intimidated by it or by people, but Father, when we give the altar call for that, that they would not be hindered in coming forward. Father, if there's anybody here that desires the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we want to pray for them. Hallelujah. Healing, Father. If they need physical healing in their body, they would not deny themselves a redemptive right that had been given them this morning. And so with every head bowed, if that fits your need this morning, please step out and come forward right now. Do that right now in the name of Jesus. Salvation, physical healing, restoration, baptism of the Holy, whatever it is that you need, come forward. Anybody? Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Please. Physical healing. Do you want to stand in for somebody again? Yeah, come on up. Hallelujah. Anyone else like to join them? Feel free to do it. Right up here. Do you want to? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Praise the Lord. Come right here, honey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right here, honey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come right up here, sweetheart. There you go. Anyone else? Anyone else? God's tugging on somebody else's heart. I don't know who it is. But you better get up here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Tonight's Ignite Night. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. How long will I speak to you and you turn me away, saith the Lord? Come and drink of the living water, and I will show you change in your life that you have longed to see happen for so long. I am the God of the Most High. I am the one who is the answer for your life. Don't hesitate, but come and drink of the living water, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, when I dismiss this service, may your wonderful people find victory in the message I shared with them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. You guys stay right here. I'm going to pray with you.